And we're back with I2 talking about masks today. This second part of our live radio show and our fourth podcast, recorded podcast, distinguishing different disguises. So we started off by talking about individual masks. And now I want to talk a little bit about masks that we see in societies, institutions, organizations, particularly in the media and in politics. Very hot topic right now, politics.
Yeah, so we spoke a bit about like the way that we carry ourselves. So how does our community carry itself or identify from other communities and other parts of the world? And yeah, like Jules was talking about, politics, gender, race.
Culture.
This is very much a society and culture sort of chat.
And it's very topical right now, particularly in politics. I'm just immediately drawn to, well, in Australia, we have the state elections coming up. And naturally, politicians always putting on a beautiful mask for us to follow. And it's interesting to see, to compare that with the coronavirus. I personally hold that different COVID decisions specifically have been, obviously the government is doing everything they can to keep us safe, but there have been certain decisions that I think have been made for political reasons as well. Given the restrictions and the dates, there hasn't been any talk yet really of when the dates are going to be, what dates are going to be certain restrictions lifted. There's been talk of the dates when there will be talk, but it's all talk about talk.
We love that certainty. Oh, yeah. Particularly in Melbourne where it's just
I feel so sorry for Melbourne. That's such a struggle. That's being
closed. How many
off.
Days are they being in lockdown? Like 180?
I don't want to know. Like, not that I don't want to know, but it's just such a big number by now.
I think I have a friend who's moving there soon.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, like, someone who just moved there early this year as well. It's just terrible to think that this is their first experience
in Melbourne. I just keep thinking I almost went there for uni and I could have been there.
You went on exchange early this year.
Oh yeah, that was a sad time.
And but COVID, you had to come back.
It is used. Lots of politicians use different social topical issues as a bit of a screen, and I think as well the Trump-Biden debate in America for their federal election was particularly interesting. That's a whole another issue. You could talk for hours about issues with that. But I was thinking the other day that Trump's bigger-than-life personality and absolute ignorance, I think you could, naive ignorance as definitely a politician. Like, he's a businessman. He knows how to sell it. And I think he's
very clever.
He's selling as himself. I think that from the beginning, he is selling that position, that of crazy, unpredictable, silly. Like, he's selling silliness, really.
Mm. But there's been just so many politicians that have just been in and out. Sort of just every day, and particularly with the vast range in disparity of Americans and the limited knowledge that we have, even.
It's true.
Even of those of middle aged in the workforce.
Yep.
Still are uneducated.
I think America's a point. America's just this. It's just doesn't exist. There's nothing there really. It's all just faked.
My goodness.
But coming back to COVID, we were talking a little bit about statistics, and I want to touch on that because statistics are used in politics, not just for COVID statistics, but in general statistics. If you hear someone say, you know, 53% of the economy is in regression, you think like, wow, that sounds important. I might not understand that, but that sounds important. And it's really easy to look at statistics and think, hey, this is true. And people don't question that very much. But the statistics for COVID are so confounded. There are so many details that you don't think about or aren't immediately obvious when looking at COVID statistics. For example, the age group, the previous health scenarios of the people who have died, the amount of people being tested every day, the amount of people being tested in general compared to the general population. There, I am not one to boast statistics, but in that line, approximately 90% of tested people in Australia are asymptomatic. So, and that's of people who are tested, let alone the people who aren't tested and aren't showing symptoms. So again, it's might be like 87, it might be 93. I cannot remember the exact, but it's around about 90%. And I am 100% sure that it is around that, that percentage, which is interesting to think about because we see the numbers of amounts of hundreds of people who are dying and who are suffering. And it is really sad, obviously, to when you lose a loved one, when you lose somebody who you know, to and to anything, including COVID. But it's also interesting, given looking at other comparative statistics, what's happened to the flu? No one's gotten the flu this year. Influenza.
But everyone has COVID.
Exactly. And not saying so much now, but definitely at the beginning of COVID, when the tests were very new, obviously the scientists and medical health system didn't really know very much about it. And the test, they did report in very, very few studies that actually were, promoted by the media, were saying that these initial tests were picking up on all coronaviruses, which includes SARS and MERS and other coronavirus, not just COVID-19, because COVID-19 is a type of coronavirus. And that's just talking about the virus, the molecule of the virus. Mm. So it's statistics, big mask, big...
And I even remember when, at the very beginning, there was conspiracy theories or people thought it was a hoax because they heard all these numbers, but they didn't know anyone.
You don't know anyone. I still don't know anyone.
I still don't know anyone who's actually had it before.
I know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Yeah, same.
Who was tested positive, but didn't have symptoms or anything.
And now is okay.
It is a little bit like what, you know, and I'm obviously that's not saying that it's not real, like, duh, it's happening, but it's just the statistics, and they don't give statistics, they're giving numbers, and when you're confronted with a number like 300 people, you know, either having tested positive, having symptoms, having passed away, that is really confronting. But if you look at the percentage of the Australian population, and even if you look at the amount of people who have globally who have passed away from coronavirus, the percentage of the global population is really small. If it was, say, for obesity or diabetes, that statistic is much larger globally. So those are just some interesting things to consider with...
And that's not to say that we should stop... preventing it.
Definitely
measures,
not. But
like,
the lockdown
it's
measures
good to put
are
it out.
Also.
Yeah, it's good to have a different perspective on this sort of thing that people can so easily overreact about.
I think it's also interesting that we're talking about this because from like a business versus science perspective, it is very much come to the point that how much of the economy and of people's businesses and livelihoods are we willing to sacrifice for measures? How warranted are they by backing in science? And there was a report by who? The WHO,
World Health Organization.
By who? I don't know. that was actually written by an economist and was giving scientific information and health advice. So they had listed at the top that this expert, this is what an expert is saying, but he was an expert economist, not an expert scientist, not an expert in medicine or in the actual health and physiological effects. So that is another thing to be aware of, because having in this day and age, with the internet accessibility to information, the word expert is a mask. You can hide under that and say, yes, I'm an expert on whatever niche.
And we were speaking about this last show about how people are so, it's so easy to be convinced and influenced by what you read on the media, because, I mean, a lot of it is true, but a lot of it is very misleading. And you should be very careful when using information online in your everyday life.
It's the same way when social media first started to infiltrate our society, I guess, that people, there were all these outbreak of predators and bullying hiding behind online avatars and profiles, which that was their mask. And now we think, oh, we're so aware of this, but we're really not in certain aspects. I mean, not to be cliche, but fake news is a really big thing. And I think it's almost become a little bit underrated now, because definitely, people think like, oh, we've moved past that. It's not a hashtag anymore.
There is a lot of concern, though, like from a business perspective. I've been doing a lot more studies in cases that businesses are looking for more security online because of the awareness now that even we're bringing through this show, that maybe your information isn't safe online, and companies are increasing security measures. And
you saw that movie, Social Media Dilemma.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all of it yet, but you were talking about that last week as well, that there have been so many more, I've gotten so many more phone calls from scammers, and so many more scams are available because you're putting in your data for contact tracing, etc., which is becoming available public internet service.
But it's not even that, like, the most just obvious way that people can scam you, but it's also the way that they craft their advertising in a way to create an addiction between you and your phone, to keep flicking through the videos, to create that sort of hype and interest in the content that they're providing, and in ways they're sort of I don't want to say manipulating, but influencing your perspective.
It is essentially a manipulation.
Yeah, because and there's been propaganda. There's been all sorts of things you don't even realize. You just don't realize.
Continually taking data from you, because whatever video you click on next, that sort of filters down the ads that they're going to start popping up. So it is still like a collection of data. But in terms of businesses going online, what do you think that's going to look like after COVID?
Like, the amount, so I'm very active on LinkedIn.
Yes, you are that person.
I'm very active on LinkedIn, and the amount of digital marketing, and like also Facebook groups, communities, everyone's looking for digital marketing content creators. They're looking for video creators. They're looking for people that can put their businesses online during this pandemic, because of course they can't open their stores up in Melbourne. Huge there. And I actually had a phone call the other day of someone asking if I was interested in joining their business in a mission to put businesses online, and but just because of the high demand right now. And I think that's more important than ever. I'm trying to teach my friends now and local businesses different marketing skills and the power of digital marketing and social media, because I mean, you can reach, like, you can educate and engage with people from all around the world. And I think that is such a powerful tool for the greater good, and also for the uses of people trying to manipulate statistics and whatnot, and manipulate the way that you think. We just have to be super careful. But I think there is a lot of good in social media, and we should continue using it.
Yeah, that's... it'll be interesting to see. It is very much that two-sided coin.
Yeah.
Being online makes you accessible to a broader audience. It also makes it easier to network and connect with an international community that you wouldn't have been able to do previously. But it also does open you up to a lot more data.
There's a lot of risks involved. I personally, like, I have got my license, my credit card, everything digital on my phone now. So I lost my wallet the other day. I thought I had it stolen, and stressful. I was freaking out. It's such a, like, it to everyone else, like to me, to me, it's so valuable. There's my keys, there's my apartment card, credit card, identity. But to everyone else, it's just a plastic card. So why would you steal it? But someone found it on the street. Thank you so much. Shout out to that person who contacted me on social media as well, which is kind of crazy.
That happened to me as well with my student card when I lost it. And someone messaged me and was like, hey, I found it. Is this you?
Absolutely. And I was like, thank you so much for that kindness. Like, I'll pass it on. But the fact that they used my details from my wallet to find me on social media and then contact me, I think is pretty cool. And but with that being said, when I did lose my wallet, I freaked out, but I didn't really, it wasn't the end of the world because all those details are on my phone now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot less sort of dependency on physical items.
That's really funny because I have a coworker who he's retired and he's sort of come back into this position just casually to keep his foot in the door. And I told him when you called me at work that you'd lost your wallet, and he was just like, oh no, that's such a sad thing. What is she going to do? And I said, she's on her way here and I'm going to let her in. And he's like, well, how's she going to pay for the bus? And I just thought, now she's got a credit card on her phone. So, like, she can still function. But back then, for him, that's his sort of habit was not being able to have that on his phone. Like, he'd had that physical credit card and that was it. So,
That's just us living in the digital age. But I suppose that comes with a lot of risk because now my phone knows all my banking details.
If you lose your phone or someone hacks your phone.
I mean, personally, I don't have a lot on my bank, in my bank right now, which like...
That's student life.
But like, I don't put a lot on my card anyway, just because of these risks and yeah. So I don't put a lot on my card, but I wouldn't be like worried if someone hacked it. But that's me as a student. Yeah. Like, I couldn't imagine someone maybe with more
I just think capital. About those businesses that are online, if all of a sudden, because I thought about this the other day, my 3 a.m. thoughts. If my phone was hacked or if I lost it, if I dropped it in like water and it broke, I have so many photos and memories and things on there, but it wouldn't be the end of the world because I have my memory, I have my health, my life. I still can go on living, making memories, remembering that kind of thing.
I think we all have different takes on that though.
So yeah, so many people rely so much more on their phone, and memories are really interesting one when it comes to that.
When I don't have a memory. So I have photos. I take photos of everything because
memory. That's why your storage is full.
That's why my storage is full.
That's why you can't take, you can't take Insta stories of us recording our podcast.
No, but I do rely heavily on my phone.
I think a lot of people do, but it is in very different ways. I very much rely on my phone when I think of something that I want to research, and I just write a list, and then I like to have my phone so I can Google it. But people, I feel like that's just me as a nerd that I am. I'm always wanting to use that. But I feel like we don't rely on our phones for information so much. So for example, with like the statistics, the COVID statistics and all, you can Google that at the touch of your fingers, but people don't. It's just, you think,
about it anymore.
That's enough. True. Honestly, before this, I had not touched anything related to COVID for like a month.
I haven't heard about it in so long, actually.
No.
Even like when it's on the news at home, I just flick the channel because I know Jules would just go on a rant about COVID, and I've had enough.
That time I pushed through at the TV and missed.
Thank God for that. Luckily. Oh my god! I can't believe we just went onto this tangent. We about did, phones, but it really
you know is social a big media part of your life. Social media and statistics—they're scary.
Yeah, definitely. Quite.
Speaking of scary, it's October. It's Halloween month.
Okay, we're going to be speaking about Halloween. That's a good point. We're speaking about Halloween in our next shows.
Yeah.
But
we wanted to sort of test the water with like a theme. So overarching theme for October as Halloween to sort of focus on the not necessarily scary things, but just that's why we started off with masks, because Halloween is a lot more about, I feel like, especially in Australia, it's not such a big thing, the candy and the whole, that much of it all, but it is about, like, people like to dress up and people like to get together, have barbecues, parties, etc., and dress up, which is really fun.
It's an opportunity to come together with your friends.
And it is. Family. And it's, again, masquerade, costume parties, they are a, it is a sort of expression. You get to express yourself in your costume. And that was always really fun, like, as a kid and for families. When we were really little with my sister, we used to make our costumes, like, with paper and stuff. So, yeah, they were our disguises. And, yeah.
And that sort of comes along with what we spoke about earlier about makeup and the power of completely changing your whole identity.
Yeah, your fashion, just, it is. You do. You do change
your identity. And that was in the previous show that we had. So... I guess we're wrapping up here.
Yeah. The masks in media and politics. You've got the COVID statistics, government, politicians using different masks, leaning into different social issues, different perspectives to promote certain issues. And you've got social media that also you portray a certain version of yourself and you can... With the benefits that come with social media, there is also the sometimes scarier aspects and risks that you open yourself up to. Yeah.
So I think that's something that is really interesting. Definitely being talked about a lot more often now. But yeah, hope you guys really enjoyed this show. And this
we podcast. Enjoy talking about
we love talking about this. Find us on i2 podcast, so I and then the number 2.
We're on Spotify, on Instagram, and we've got a link in our Instagram that goes to our recorded podcast, so
on Anchor FM.
So listen, learn,
and we'll be back
next Wednesday.
Next week.